Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to having your dialogue and discussion as you join in this discussion today. I pray that you will invite others to do so. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and your discussion on a very, very important issue today. We're going to be talking about COVID pass, comma, remember the 1976 swine flu. Remember the 1976 swine flu. We're having a push today across America and around the globe for a COVID pass, some identification that will allow you to buy, sell, trade, open your business, travel, go to sports arenas, sports events, go to your medical doctor, go to the hospital to visit loved ones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're on the fast track for that. Canada has just announced it's introducing its COVID pass. Israel already has a COVID pass. State of New York already introduced their COVID pass. And we're finding that taking place across America today. But the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Do we have a rationale, a reason? Do we have that which is fundamentally correct in requiring that to be done? If not, why not? If they're doing that, if they're pushing that, then why is it being done? We're going to investigate that today and during the course of this broadcast. And I pray that you'll stay tuned, that you will join in the dialogue and discussion about the issue. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. It's the truth book. It is the book of truth, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then further, Jesus makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to grasp our attention. In fact, in Psalms 146, verse 3, the Bible says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. And yet we find today there's a push for human beings, for citizens in America, to place our trust in the vaccine that is an experimental shot or stab, as they're calling it. We need to recognize the background and the facts around what is taking place with the vaccine today, ladies and gentlemen. So as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the truth book. It was the secularist George Orwell in 1947 when he wrote the dystopian fictional novel, 1984. He said in that book, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And you stand on the truth, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be dissed, as the world calls it. You'll be rejected as the world sees it, because truth is not sought after in society today. It's the 15th century church reformer and theologian Jan Hus that said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that's an admonition even for today, that we need to stand for the truth and defend it, even if we stand alone, even if we face the wiles of the evil one in society today, even standing for truth if it means death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of the Honda generators. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment, as well as the professional and the homeowner brand lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole, about 165-foot flagpole. Old Glory is flowing 24/7. Find that flagpole with the American flag flying. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the COVID pass, and my subtitle that I'm calling it today is Remember the 1976 Swine Flu. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been lied to. We have been demeaned. We've been in some way, and every state and local governmental official, including the White House, with the Biden administration, we've been dominated by our governmental officials telling us what to do. Let me just give you a little brief historical thumbnail sketch so that if you are not familiar with where we've come from and where we are, that fits in with the underpinning of what we're going to talk about today. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, we have traveled a dark path, as I call it, a dark path for our nation. We have traveled that dark path because of the so-called health officials, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Tedros, and Dr. Birx, that all claim to have divine wisdom and knowledge as to the fact that they claimed that 2.2 million people in America were going to die unless we had some lockdown, shutdown of all of the churches, all of the homes, all of the families, all of the businesses where we're totally locked down. You will, ladies and gentlemen, recall that we've been lied to. And as a result of that being lied to, the jobs were lost, several million jobs were lost, millions of businesses closed, hundreds of thousands of churches closed, still remaining with thousands of churches across America today closed. And as a result of that lockdown, as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, some 250,000 plus people have lost their lives because of hopelessness, helplessness, and a sense of hopelessness that could not be helped with them. And as a result of that, because of drug overdose or because of purposeful suicide, they've taken their own lives, over 250,000. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we're told today in some states and some cities by governors and tyrannical mayors that we need to continue the lockdown. Now, the same governors and the same leaders, if you want to call them that, politically speaking, through the Biden administration, continue to insist today that the mask mandate must continue. They also are saying now that the COVID vaccination must take place. There's a striving today, ladies and gentlemen, to vaccinate every human being in America. The Biden administration has said now that over 100 million have been vaccinated. I frankly question the veracity of that statement, but nevertheless, that's what's been promulgated. They're saying they want another 60 million vaccinated by July the 4th. In fact, Joe Biden says that he's wanting everybody to have a good July the 4th. And if everybody's vaccinated, if you put it in the young blood vernacular, if everybody's been good little boys and girls, if you've obeyed the government, if you've gotten your full vaccination, that means two shots, not just one. If you've done that, then you might be able to have 10 or 15 people in your backyard if you wear a mask to celebrate July the 4th. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden, even after the CDC said that the mask is not necessary outside. Of course, I've known that, and I've said that, and our guest that we'll interview in just a moment, a physician, has said that, and yet there are a lot of folks today that go around with not only a mask but a face shield, as well as one or two masks, with their latex gloves, with the windows rolled up, driving full speed ahead down the highways as though somehow, some way, COVID's going to jump in the window and grab them, and they're frightened to death. But Joe Biden says he still needs to wear the mask, even though he's indoors, and he says he wants to do it to be patriotic. But yet, I've got an article in my hands where he and his wife just visited the former president, Jimmy Carter, and Rosalynn, his wife, and inside, they didn't have a mask on. They were wearing a mask outside. This article says Biden wears a mask outside alone, but not when indoors with a frail 90-year-old couple. Democrats have twisted the simple act of wearing a mask into a convoluted crusade full of hypocrisy and having idiots and lunatics to follow, this article says. Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, is at the top of the heap among all of those. The president was so wedded to having Americans' faces permanently shrouded that he continued to ignore science and CDC guidelines on Friday as he called for the fully vaccinated individuals to still wear the mask. And then it shows a picture with this article of Jimmy Carter and Rosalynn, his wife, and Dr. Biden and President Biden seated there with them with no mask on. This article says, however, the president and his wife, First Lady Jill Biden, showed their patriotic responsibility when they showed up at the home of the former President Jimmy Carter and his wife to pose for photographs with them, but they had no mask on for the photographs and for the setting in their home. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been deceived, we've been lied to, and that lie continues. It's the drumbeat of the lie across America today that's trying to be used to incentivize people to get the vaccination. Here's an article that says how white evangelicals' vaccine refusal could prolong the pandemic. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, part of the intimidation to force people to get the vaccination is now to publicly say that it's the white evangelicals, i.e., those of you that's listening today. We are supposedly the white evangelicals, and I'm sure there are others than just the skin tonation of white listening. But the point is, this article says, and it's the one of the people that is speaking from Edmond, Oklahoma. This article says, Stephanie Nanny, an evangelical Christian in Edmond, Oklahoma, refused to get the COVID-19 vaccination because she believed it contained aborted cell tissue. She's right. But the article title, How White Evangelicals' Vaccine Refusal Could Prolong the Pandemic. And this article goes on to talk about how it is believed today that the pandemic in America with the COVID-19, never mind the fact that it has plummeted in numbers, the number of deaths have been infinitesimally small to begin with, the number of new cases are infinitesimally small today, in fact, no greater than the average common flu on an annual basis. But they're trying to intimidate now and says there are about 41 million white evangelical adults in the United States. About 45% said in late February that they would not get the vaccination, making them among the least likely demographic groups to do so, according to Pew Research. Significant numbers of Americans generally are resistant to getting vaccinated, but white evangelicals present a unique challenge because of their complex web of moral, medical, and political objections, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, during the course of this broadcast, I want us to understand why those objections should be viewed as valid and should not be looked at with disdain, but recognized as being real. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says the U.S. government program is pushing a vaccine passport, both domestically and internationally, and progress is being reported directly to the White House. I reviewed the White House presentation on the subject, and I've seen one of the COVID control applications already in use elsewhere. Calling for a coordination and alignment of vaccination credential activities across HHS agencies, the document states that the vaccine passports, quote, are critical drivers for restoring baseline population health and promoting safe return to social, commercial, and leisure activities, end quote. The presentation clearly states that the federal government will inevitably be involved with the vaccination credential solution, and that is the implementation that is issued of the vaccine credential to be used for the international and domestic travel and will be communicated progress with and to and through the White House. This writer says, which is Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel, says, I don't know about you, but I do not want Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, or any other governmental official keeping track of me, my daily movements, nor do I want the government officials capturing the names, addresses, or phone numbers of my friends with whom I associate or attend church with. But that's exactly what the Biden administration is developing, according to the Department of Health and Human Services presentation. And it goes on to talk about China and Israel and other nations already have that tracking system in place, ladies and gentlemen. So the question is, what should we do? As I've used so often from Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? What ought to be our response? What should we do in relationship to what we see taking place today? There's a push today for every human being in America to be vaccinated or be shut out of commerce, be shut out of the opportunity to travel and any leisure association with family, friends, and to be involved in anything that will be called leisure living in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, we must be very concerned. Listen to these two statements. Then I want to introduce our guest today. We should be very, very concerned and cautious and also resistant to a push that I see taking place by our governmental officials today, where there is the coercion of the people into taking the COVID vaccination. Governors are trying all kinds of tricks to get you to take the vaccination. Now, I don't know what's taking place behind the scenes with the federal government, the Biden administration, and the different governors, but listen very carefully to three major ways that they're trying to get you to take the vaccination. It's a disguised force through intimidation. First of all is intimidation that they're using. Governor Cuomo of New York now says that if you are not vaccinated, you could kill grandma. That's intimidation. You could kill grandma. Here's the article. Governor Cuomo issues a twisted warning to people who refuse to take the vaccination. The Democrat said that during his live event, maybe you can go home and kiss grandmother and wind up killing grandma. Cuomo said this during the event of social distancing will remain in place following the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines that says it's okay not wear a mask outside now. But the intimidation that if you don't take the vaccination, you could kill grandma. In fact, Governor Inslee says more places and events require proof of vaccination. Governor Jay Inslee says that you could expect to see more places asking for your vaccination card or passport for entry. The governor said Thursday that he will make announcements on places in Washington state that will have vaccination requirements by mid-May, which could include some cruises, sports events, performing arts, school graduations, et cetera, et cetera. We're now going to have new guidelines for cruise ships, he says, and he goes further. It's a small example of the benefit of getting vaccinated, the governor said. And he goes on to talk about, just think for the next several weeks, you could see increasing policies by the state and other entities like colleges, cruise lines, and everything that you do, shop, trade, and your business. And it's incentivizing the people to go ahead and get your vaccination, he says. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it egregious where governors with the intimidation and then the incentivization, given some type of incentive for you to take the vaccination. The New Jersey governor is offering free beer to everyone that submits to the vaccination. The West Virginia governor is offering a $100 government bond for each one that takes the vaccination. I am appalled by that. In fact, workers are incentivized. Here's an article that says workers cash for vaccination incentives boom despite legal questions. Employees are offering bonuses, paid time off to get the vaccination. One of the largest hospital systems in Texas offering a $500 hope bonus to its 26,000 workers to get inoculated against COVID-19, joining businesses nationwide that's beginning to offer vaccination incentives for getting the vaccination. And just a few of them. I'll not take time to read all of them, but I've got a list. The Tennessee-based Dollar General store has more than 140,000 variety store employees. It's offering frontline hourly teams 4 hours of pay to take off and get your vaccination. Colorado-based meat processing, JBS in the USA, offering $100 bonuses to its nearly 66,000 workers. Oklahoma-based Love's Travel Shops and Country Stores offering $75 to its 25,000 employees. Illinois-based grocery chain Aldi, with its workforce of about 25,000, offering 2 hours pay for each dose an hourly worker receives of the vaccination. European Grocery is offering $200 in extra pay for 5,000 workers for its stores in the United States of America. 26,000 employees of the Hudson Methodist Hospital Group offering $500 bonuses already has administered the first dose of the vaccine to 75% of its workers. And I could go on and on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, with the incentives that's being offered. So they're trying to get people vaccinated by intimidation, by incentivizing them to take the vaccination. And then the one that tops it all, ladies and gentlemen, is for the schools. Listen carefully. some of the schools are now offering students advanced academic credits if they take the vaccination. Here's the report. Students offered school credits toward graduation for getting the vaccine. And it's an elongated article, but I'll simply put it succinctly this way. They're offering credits, academic credits, for the student to get the vaccination. Now, what student would say no to the potentiality of getting advanced credits without having to work for them, just take the jab in the arm, as it is called? And that's what we see taking place. And part of the intimidation is to shut out families from hospitals and from medical procedures for their loved ones, even ones that are dying, if they don't have the vaccination. Here's an article. A hospital in Michigan telling two sons that they cannot visit their dying mother unless they have the COVID vaccination. The two sons are Christians who escaped communist Romania to live in the land of the free, in the home of the brave. They're deacons in their respective churches, and they cannot pray with their mother before she dies. An elderly Romanian immigrant lies dying of old age complications in a Troy, Michigan hospital. Her sons, both deacons in their churches, want to pray over and anoint their mother with oil before she passes. One of them drove 800 miles to help the brother with his mom as she takes her last breath. But the hospital will not allow either of the sons to see their mother, let alone live her last rites to her before she dies, unless they take the COVID injection. The two sons offered to have every possible protection in place, except the COVID shots. They said that they have religious and moral objections to the shot. They even volunteered to wear the most extreme personal protection biohazard gear and undergo any type of COVID testing prior to the visit. Still, the hospital will not let these loving sons get near their dying mother unless they take the experimental COVID-19 vaccination, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, so what do we do? Let's add the doctor. We have the benefit and the blessing of having Dr. Stephen Grable with us today. Dr. Grable, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issue. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Grable is a 30-year board-certified physician. I believe that he has the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding to deal with some of these questions, and we want to talk with him today, asking him a few questions that perhaps you'd like to answer, have answers to, or perhaps you'd like to call in and ask your questions during the course of this broadcast. Dr. Grable, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on this broadcast today.
Thank you, Doc, for inviting me. It's always a pleasure to speak with you and your audience.
Dr. Grable, before we go further, I believe it's wise to set the stage. Some that have not heard our conversation before, set the stage with telling us a little about your background, your medical credentials, and why we feel, you and I both feel, you should qualify to answer some of these questions about COVID-19.
Well, I've been in practice for 30 years as a board-certified internal medicine physician, and for the last 25, I've been practicing what's called functional medicine. And doctors like me, what we try to do is figure out what the underlying problem is and try to get a fix without using a lot of drugs and chemicals. And then if I need to, I can go on to medications. So with COVID, I have been studying this quite extensively over the past year. I have read all three of Judy Mikovits's books. I read a 400-page position statement which took 20,000 hours of doctor's time, countless articles, countless podcasts. I've had COVID up to the eyeballs. And so I feel like I've got a reasonably good viewpoint at 20,000 feet of what's going on.
Dr. Grable, let me ask you a pertinent question that I believe would be first out of the chute. We'll get into the ramifications, the details, and the efficacy of what is in the vaccinations later in the dialogue and discussion. But the question that needs to be asked, and I believe that most of our listeners would be interested in hearing, do you feel that the COVID vaccination is efficacious for COVID? In other words, the question for our listeners, do you believe it's necessary to have the COVID vaccination?
Absolutely not. First of all, COVID is just a lab-produced nasty cold bug. And if you look at the death rates, even compared to just various cold viruses, there is really not that much difference. So we've been sold a huge bill of goods. I have a three-hour presentation that you kindly allowed me to do at your church, which we can get listeners who are interested that link that they can watch if they like. But even vaccines in general, there's been a 200-year lie about what really helps people the most. It is sanitation, nutrition, keeping your immune system strong. So what these so-called COVID vaccines are doing, and folks like Sherry Tenpenny don't even like to use the word vaccine, so we'll call it what it is, the experimental gene therapy. And some, like Mike Adams, have even gone so far as to say it's a bioweapon, which we can explain in a few minutes. But basically, all it was tested to do was to show a decrease in symptoms of COVID. The vaccines or the gene, the shot or the jab is not designed to protect the individual from contracting COVID.
When you say that, the antenna goes up for me, and perhaps it does for our listening audience. If that is the case, then in your opinion, from your medical background, why would there be such a push in America to get everyone in by intimidation or incentivizing them in some fashion with money or bonds or beer to take the jab? What would be the incentive? What would be the purpose in your understanding of that? Why is this happening, in other words?
Yeah, Doc, you and I both know that we could probably spend 3 hours or more on this. So let me see if I can try to condense it. For your listeners who are not familiar with the deep state, the globalists, to go by the cabal, go by various titles, I think it's very important for them to really get themselves up to speed on who the people are that are behind all this. Because the only thing that makes sense to me is this is part of eugenics. This is part of depopulation.
Yes.
I'm looking right here. As of April 23rd, the CDC data itself showed that there were over 3,500 deaths and over 12,600 serious side effects reported from these jabs. And we know by statistics that's probably only about 10% of the actual. And there's a great Lee Merritt. She's an orthopedic surgeon. What a patriot, Christian, MD gal. She had a nice interview with Mike Adams. And she went back and looked at the VAERS, that's the vaccine injury report, for the first quarter of the last several years. And I find this fascinating. So in 2018, in the first quarter, there were 12 deaths from vaccines across the board. 2019, there were 18. 2020, there were 23. This year, there have been 2,917 deaths, of which 99% were due to the COVID vaccines. Now, that alone should make even the most skeptical skeptic raise their eyebrows and drop their jaw.
Absolutely. And one of the things, Dr. Grable, that, and we've got about a minute before our news break, but one of the things, and I'm reading an article about the VAERS reports, the data shows dozens of miscarriages, stillbirths from COVID vaccinations. That's one of the things that, and right now they're pushing the college-age students in particular, and college and universities now being required to have the vaccination to go back to school. Do you foresee a major epidemic in the future of stillbirths, of births with deformed children as a result of this vaccine? Is that a potential for the future that we don't know even now?
I don't think it's a potential. I think that it's a reality. In England, they've reported miscarriage rates have gone up 366% since the shots were introduced. And there's more and more. If you listen to Christiane Northrup and other very sharp MDs, they will tell you they are getting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of reports of patients who've been around people who've been vaccinated.
Dr. Grable, let me jump in for just a moment because our hard break is coming up at the top of the hour. Okay. News, ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We'll be right back right after the news.